What are thieves' purchases but little kingdoms? For in thefts, the hands of the underlings are directed by the commander, the confederacy of them is sworn together, and the pillage is shared by the law amongst them. And if those ragamuffins but grow up to be able enough to keep forts, build habitations, possess cities, and conquer adjoining nations, then their government is no more called thievish, but graced with the eminent name of a kingdom or a nation.
Oh, hi everyone, good morning. What a great day for Canada. The Prime Minister said yesterday how humbled he was to be taking on his job, and that's exactly my feeling. I think that this is a critical moment for Canada, a consequential moment. I'm absolutely confident that Mark Carney has already begun to be a consequential Prime Minister for Canada.
I'm Frank Vaughn. It's May 16th, 2025, but what does it really matter? It's Groundhog Day. Every day the same in Canada, this purgatory, this political hell that we're going through right now, that a lot of Canada is quite comfortable with, at least 8 million people, even if they're non-citizens and they're voting. They're still quite happy with the status quo and the way things are, and I'm still stuck on the point that we just went through an election cycle where we were force-fed daily doses, massive doses, mega doses, like an all-you-can-eat buffet of crisis messaging unending, all surrounding the personality of Donald Trump and the great threat of the United States of annexation, all the attendant things related to that. And in the wake of said election, none of that is on the table anymore. The crisis has been averted. Everything is nice and quiet. We're going to have 15 parliamentary days where Parliament is in session. And then they're all going to go home until September. We might get a by-election during the summer. And what a joke that'll be. The official resignation in the... In the Battle River Crowfoot riding, which is where Polyev is going to run, Damian Kirk resigned, but Kirk's resignation was officially declared in the Canada Gazette only yesterday. So the earliest official possible resignation date is June 14th, and Parliament's only in session, I think, until June 20th. So it kind of cuts it close. Now, Carney could keep his word and call a by-election, which will occur during the summer recess. It'll just be such a non-event. And Pierre Polyev might have a seat back in the House of Commons by the time the Commons sits again in September. But my issue is that this is how the Federation functions, that this is normal, that you can be lied to through an entire election campaign and Mark Carney can go down there and shake hands with his old buddy Donald Trump. And all of a sudden, the script flips, the narrative flips, and all of a sudden, the trade war is gone, and they're all just going to go on vacation. And so much of the Canadian public just swallows it like it's normal. In fact, we'll call you retarded for suggesting that this state of normal is a tragedy. Does anybody remember the recent yesteryear where a visit to the CBC's front page would have treated you to constant images of Donald Trump in unappealing pictures and poses with messages of impending doom? Since the election, this is what we get. Jury discharge, judge alone will determine fate of five ex-world junior players in sexual assault trial. This is the entire front page. There's a lot I could say about that, but we're going to try and stay on point. Scrolling down, we see this. Trump says people are starving in Gaza amid deadliest 24 hours of Israeli strikes in months. U.S. President Donald Trump on Friday backed aid for Palestinians, saying people in Gaza are starving and adding that he expected a lot of good things in the next month. All of a sudden, the CBC is quoting Donald Trump as saying favorable things, just like Mark Carney is complimenting Trump on being a amazing president while he was down there kissing his ass, while the media and the pundits up here tried to spin it like Carney was being strong instead of kissing the ring. It's incredible. The Liberals aren't tabling a budget. How does that affect the economy and your wallet? Economist says lack of budget could slow down promised stimulus. Maybe. Maybe not. Depends. We're in Canada right now. You should be getting used to being governed by order and council. This is the new form of government that, to his credit, Justin Trudeau pioneered. It's never been done this way before to this extent. Executive fiat. There's Mark Carney in this picture, sitting in front of his fake folder with his fake, whatever they call it, notice of direction. Is that what it was called? Doesn't matter. It's of no force and effect. It's optics. He may be instructing his cabinet to develop a piece of legislation to pass during the limited parliamentary session we're about to get. But at the end of the day, it's just theater, except it builds on the preparations already laid for fiat government, which is government by order and council. During the summer months, tens of billions of dollars are going to be spent and tens of billions of dollars are going to be added to the national debt, and Parliament won't even be sitting to see it happen. The Governor General with one signature, the ceremonial Governor General, right? We're told that it's just quaint ceremony. The Privy Council doesn't matter. The King doesn't matter. The Governor General doesn't matter. Yet somehow the signature alone of the Governor General can authorize unlimited amounts of spending. The Constitution requires a budget, but we're not going to have one. What's actually ruling this country right now? I said yesterday that I feel like we're under arbitration. I feel like we're being managed. And it's happening in plain sight. They have dispensed with the pretense of Parliament. We used to at least pretend it mattered. Now it doesn't matter at all. And it's the contrast. It's the contrast that I can't get over. With the crisis that we just came through, the optical crisis, the political crisis, the constant media bombardment and social media bombardment that we are facing, threats unending from Donald Trump, just disappears. And no one on the left even blinks an eye. In fact, many of them act like Carney going down there led to ultimate victory, like Canada won the war, a war that didn't even begin. Meanwhile, Trump has been very clear in saying he got exactly what he wanted out of the Canadian election. Isn't it grand? Isn't it grand being part of a fake country? And it's not just me calling it fake. That's Bloc Québécois leader Blanchet. He called it an artificial country. Because it is. It was designed that the provinces would have autonomy. This government, one of the things that's consistently messaged, because it's very interesting, Carney says one thing, his ministers say another thing, and they're all going home anyway, so none of it matters. But they're talking about lowering interprovincial trade barriers, creating an energy corridor, and I guess imposing it upon the provinces. I don't know how they're going to deal with Quebec. It's not how this federation set up. The provinces are supposed to be autonomous. They're supposed to be independent in many ways. And so this building a federated structure that is all powerful over the provinces has been tried before by Trudeau the Elder, for one, but by other prime ministers as well. And they run smack dab into the Quebec problem. I don't think anything changes. I don't think you see any new pipelines. Guilbeault said that one of our existing pipelines is only at 40% capacity, even though it's completely not true. Our ministers don't even know what is going on in this country. The people running the show who are going on vacation. It's unreal. This is as close to Reddit as I'm ever going to get, by the way. But I'm just seeing a month ago, BC Premier says, talk of Western Canadian separation needs to stop. He's an NDP leader. Carla Beck here in Saskatchewan is apoplectic Every single media appearance, she's got to wear a Canada sweater and is signaling the unity of the country and all this stuff. She should just run for leader of the federal NDP because she's not representing the interests of Saskatchewan, let alone Western Canada. We really need right now to do our best to go our own way. To engage Scott Moe's strategy of unlawful resistance. It worked on the carbon tax. It worked. That's not me. The premier did something unlawful and succeeded. Threatened federal agents with arrest and all the other things I've covered on this channel. Now is not the time to listen to these weak-kneed socialists. Now is the time to stand on our own two feet because we may not get another shot. I don't understand why Quebec gets to do this, but we don't. The Western culture, the Western ethos is every bit a distinct society as Quebec. It may not have its own language, but in many ways it does. Impeccable English is the mark of the countryside out here. It's instead of that thick north of seven accent that you get in Ontario, you just get impeccable English. It's incredible, actually. But this is a rural culture. There's a high degree of honor in this culture. It's an agrarian culture. It's a organically communal culture, and I know people hate that word, but that's what it is out here. Everybody kind of comes together with respect for individual property rights and boundaries. It's incredible. It's a distinct society. It's every bit as distinct as Quebec. Why shouldn't we promote our interests in the way that Quebec has demonstrated? Why is it only when Western Canada starts exerting itself that everybody loses their minds while Quebec gets away with murder? And in a way, it's literal murder. It's the murder of the country that Canada could have been. The solutions that people are talking about, pipelines and all this other stuff, energy projects, these are solutions that should have been done four decades ago. Canada's become a resource colony. We sell ourselves out to the highest bidder, whether it's China, the United States, India, you name it. We are open for business of other stronger nations as we get gutted and raked and ripped apart. But more specific to Quebec, total lifetime equalization payouts is on screen, billions of dollars. Nobody's made more to the tune of $198 billion. Over half of equalization payments in this country have gone to Quebec alone. And two provinces stand out. Saskatchewan and Alberta, as being the ones who net pay and have received very little benefit by design, because these provinces have always been designed and set up by Ottawa as simply a financial device to pad out their budgets. We really need to end the toxic cycle that is Canada. This federation sucks. This government is terrible. And I don't mean just because it's a liberal government. I mean the government the system generates, where you elect parliamentarians and they're not even the government. They just rubber stamp the laws that the government decides to bring along. The government is unelected. It's your cabinet. It's your governor general. People appointed. It's all kind of set in stone before you even scratch an X on a ballot. And that doesn't mean that voting is useless. Sometimes choice appears on the ballot. I actually think there was some choice in the last election. It didn't work because the majority of this country is quite happy with the direction that things are going. And look at Quebec. The Bloc Québécois was in a very commanding position when Justin Trudeau was still prime minister. But he left. And Carney comes in, and it is actually incredible how strong the Liberal Party is provincially in Quebec now. Federalism is strong in Quebec. This idea that sovereignty is a shoe-in there, that it's some kind of threat, might enjoy a third support, maybe a little north of third, maybe 40%. Most of Quebec is quite happy. This graphic should demonstrate why they're happy. They got a whole country at their disposal because of the sword of Damocles of separation. Western Canada needs to do this. We need to have this conversation. We need to make noise. We got a legitimate case. We're being ripped off, systemically ripped off, for not just decades, for over a century and a half, since before there were even provinces, the western part of this country has been getting screwed. The system disenfranchises the people the second they put an X on a ballot. The government isn't even trying anymore. They're not even pretending that Parliament has relevance. They're not even they're not even being consistent with the level of crisis that they whipped up in the election campaign. They're not even trying to keep it going. They have so little respect for the public. They hate you. They hate all of us. And I think they hate the people who vote for them the most. Because it's those people who are the most asleep. It's those people who can least think critically. That 43% of voters who voted for the Liberal Party to save us from the dreaded Pierre Poilievre, Trump North. And then in the wake of the election, Carney goes down there one trip, and all of a sudden we're best friends again, and the trade war is off the radar. And you people don't miss a beat. You just go along with it. I think you deserve what you get. But the western part of this country doesn't. So unemployment is rising. Manufacturing is fleeing the country. Investment is drying up as it goes south of the border. That sucking sound I've been talking about in all of my videos is ramping up. Running at about 130 decibels right now. Soon it'll be deafening. We still don't have energy projects on the book that can actually alleviate some of the stresses in this country. Drill, baby, drill is catching fire in the United States. The leases are being taken. They're being bought up. Oil is going to flood the market. Alberta is going to be out of position. And the official position of the government seems to be hurry up and wait. Canada's circling the drain. We're a money laundering international capital. We are a drug trafficking empire. We are a narco state north. Nobody cares. 10 to 20% of our GDP is illegally derived economic activity. No one cares. The 10,000 personnel that were supposed to go to the border. What happened with that? Where's the fentanyl czar? On vacation for the summer. Oh my God. The bottom line is, there's a whole bunch of people in Canada who think voting Carney saved us from Trump. You gave Trump what he wanted. This is the perfect setup. Canada in decline, an absentee government, ripe for the picking by any stronger sovereign nation who wants to take advantage. I am going on the Sean Newman podcast here in a little while. So that's where I'm going to wrap up the video. Please tune in. I'm looking forward to the chat. Should be interesting. I'm going in blind. I have no idea what he's going to throw at me. And that's kind of the way I like to do interviews. And that's it. Come see me there. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.